This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
This is the Broadway Boys Podcast through the Hockey Podcast Network, and we are back with Season 3, Episode 83. So I am back, happy to be back. Had a lot going on Sunday as my daughter Madison was baptized, and I ate too much, and I am glad Andy was able to take the reins. We have a lot to talk about, some news from around the league, and you know, also something Rangers related that's been bothering me for quite some time now, and I had to do a little research to make sure I wasn't crazy. Turns out I'm not crazy. Very happy to have this time here to talk to Andy, and almost like a little therapy session here as we talk a little New York Rangers hockey also. But first, I have to ask Andy, how are you doing, my friend?
Doing good, now that it is not brutally hot as I've been complaining about for the last four episodes. I feel like I have a little bit more energy to do things. Just moving is brutal in this heat, and you know, the second you get in front of your AC, you don't want to get away from it, or you know, especially my apartment doesn't have central air, so it's, you know, if it's like I have all these errands and stuff to run and do, I'm just like, no, I'm just gonna sit here. So I was putting some stuff off, but it's good now, and you are back, so we can talk about everything that's been going on in the world of the hockey and the National Hockey League in general. So yeah, happy you're back, and looking forward to it.
Yeah, I guess let's start with David Quinn. Obviously, he goes to the Sharks, meets up with fellow BU alum Greer out there. So, you know, a lot happening in the Sharks land, but kind of surprising. I don't think I would have picked San Jose as David Quinn's, you know, spot where he would land his next coaching job. But here he is in San Jose. You know, that aqua blue is going to certainly bring out his blue eyes. So, yeah, I just wanted to ask Andy, like, you know, is this a good spot for him? You know, I kind of feel like I don't know what the Sharks are. I feel like they have veteran players, but they stink, but they're not rebuilding. I kind of just don't know what they are. Are they just kind of, is he another, you know, bridge coach for them until they take the next step?
I think the Sharks are one of those teams that are trying to have their cake and eat it too a little bit. They're going to try to rebuild, but I don't necessarily know if that means they're going to, unless he specifically asks, they're going to try to move, like they're going to trade Logan Couture or Tomas Hertl. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, yeah, I spoke about it a little bit on the podcast I recorded by myself the other day, but yeah, it does seem like you have seen some moves already from the Sharks. They traded Brent Burns, obviously. Nothing really came out whether or not that was his request or if that was just the team, but there was some beat writers saying how Mike Greer is going to basically try to remold the team in his image or what he feels is missing. So when you hear that, then I guess the David Quinn thing makes a little bit more sense, because that was basically what he was here, you know, brought in when the Rangers cleared all the gymnasium chairs from the last core that was here, you know what I mean? So but yeah, obviously when you hear about, you know, Mike Greer and David Quinn and the BU connection and all that, and even through Chris Drury as well, all three of those guys,
right?
You know, so it obviously makes more sense. They're tight, and you know, a lot was said. I believe they had their introductory press conference yesterday, as we're recording this on Wednesday, and I think both, you know, Quinn was asked, but also Greer was also asked about, like, how it went down, things went down in New York, and they felt he was given an impossible task of, like, brought in to train rookies, and then also have to placate to vets. And I mean, as a Rangers fan, I'm sure you might agree with me, I think he kind of failed at both of those things, because when he left, you had a bunch of kids like Kako and Lafreniere whose confidence seemed pretty shook and felt like they had such a short leash to do things. And then you had vets who were like, felt like they were micromanaged, because even though they're professionals, you know, so, you know, I'm not, I don't know, you know, I guess coaches, I would hope coaches learn from all their stints, but most of them don't. You know what I mean? They just kind of, they come up with excuses to why they're fired, and everything had to do nothing with what they were doing. It was all just, they were unfortunate victims of circumstance. So, but yeah, I guess we'll see. Maybe Quinn will have success this time out. It definitely seems like he'll probably have a little bit more faith from the front office, whereas with the Rangers, I think the belief was always that he was a transitionary coach, even if he did end up being successful. So, yeah, I guess his buddy might give him a little bit more leeway. But yeah, I guess we'll see. But the Sharks aren't going to be good this year, you know, no matter what. You know, they surprise a little bit, but I don't think there's any way they make the playoffs.
Yeah, just a weird, you know, spot for him. And I just feel like this is going to be another, I don't know, a failing of David Quinn. And again, really not his fault. I mean, if you're judging a coach strictly between wins and losses, I understand that that's not fair. But I, like you kind of said, like, yeah, he was kind of given the task to, you know, kind of come into this league with some of the kids and give them confidence and let them grow. And there are some kids that flourished, but I'm hard pressed to believe that they flourished because of David Quinn. I just think some of those kids like Fox and, you know, like they were just able to flourish because they were that good. And I don't think David Quinn exactly had the pulse on some of these kids and allowed them to, you know, accelerate their game beyond what they were capable at that point. So yeah, it just, I don't buy the David Quinn hype just yet. You know, maybe just because of what he's done in New York, and it was kind of just a shit show. And then you obviously had all the, you know, the players basically saying, you know, that they didn't really like him as a coach, and Zibanejad especially. So, you know, the vets didn't really like you. And then some of the younger kids were kind of confused on, you know, what was expected from them. I just see that as a failure on both ends. And yeah, I just don't see that going any differently in San Jose. And again, if this is your coach just to get you through the next couple seasons and get through the pains of a rebuild, well, then that makes sense. And I just can't be told anything differently other than he's just right now a bridge coach for these teams. Excuse me. In order to get them to the next step of their process of rebuilding. So, yeah, just a little David Quinn. Obviously, he's relevant to all Ranger fans, and still those seasons are still fresh, even though we had a, you know, certainly a season to remember last year. But I certainly do remember the years of David Quinn. So, next up, Andy, we spoke about this a little today. The statue going outside of you said it's crypto.com stadium now?
Yeah, I believe it's like crypto.com arena or something like that.
That's a bizarre name. It's too much. Call it like crypto arena or something like that. We don't need the .com in there. I know that's like the name of the website, but or the company, but I don't need the .com in there. It's just too much. Yeah. You know, Dustin Brown getting a statue outside that stadium, kind of a head scratcher. I mean, have you read anything yet that justifies why he might be getting a statue outside this arena?
I mean, it was a pretty shocking. And I think when we were talking, I read you some of the people that have, I guess statues outside the arena is their deal. So they obviously have a number of, Lakers, you know, they have Shaq and Magic Johnson and Kareem.
Kobe?
No, they don't have Kobe yet, which is weird. And they have Jerry West. And then they have Gretzky, obviously, and Luke Robitaille for hockey. But, you know, Dustin Brown, I mean, the guy got his captaincy stripped from him. Not because he was a bad captain, I don't think, just because they were trying to transition. It seemed like he might be on the decline of his career, but it's just a weird choice. I mean, listen, I understand he's been that player for a long time, but it's like, are the Devils going to give Andy Green a statue outside of the Prudential Center? You know what I mean? Like,
very bizarre. I'm curious if this statue is like a nod to the Stanley Cups and they just landed on the captain. Like, if there was a pose that he had during, you know, the Stanley Cup ceremony of lifting the cup that they might do. Like, yeah. That's the only thing that I can think of to justifying it. Because, like, who else would you pick on that team? Like, honestly, I feel like Quick probably deserves it more than Brown.
Yeah, I mean, he's been there for that. And, I mean, you could say the same thing about Kopitar, right? He's, even though maybe he wasn't the captain, but...
Right.
He was clearly a more offensively... He's been a more of an offensive leader for them. And listen, I mean, I guess if you're asking me, I think statues, something like a statue should only be reserved for like the top flight. You know, Gretzky obviously deserves one, but even Luke Robitaille, who I know means a lot to that franchise, a part of me is like,
I agree with you. 1,000%.
I would get rid of, you know, like I know they want to have one for Shaq too, but like, you know, really, you should maybe keep it, you know, keep it Magic. And I don't know. There's something about it being a statue. There's so much, like, permanence is such a big thing. And it's one thing if it's a banner or a number retired, like, but a statue outside of an arena is like a, it almost becomes like a piece of, it's like a public monument. You know what I mean? It's just, I don't know. It's so just kind of just weird when you to hear Dustin, a statue of Dustin Brown is just a weird sentence to come out of some, you know, anyone's mouth. So yeah, it really took me by surprise, bit of a head scratcher.
Yeah. And that's like one of those things too, when you look back in like 10 years, are they going to regret? Cause the worst thing that could ever happen is if you put up the statue and then the statue gets like taken down, like honestly taken down, and not like in the political sense, but it just doesn't belong there. Like, that's a statue that could be put up, and then I can actually see them take it down because they're like, you know what? This doesn't really fit. Like, it's kind of awkward. Or I can see, like, maybe they wouldn't just, like, take it down, but I could see them, like, moving it to, like, a local... Like, I just don't... It's a joke that has a statue. It's just insane. I just... Again, the only thing I can think of that I could fathom a statue of Dustin Brown for anywhere. Like, I don't even think, like, he would deserve one in his hometown for what he's done in the game of hockey. Like, there's just maybe you name a deli sandwich after him. I don't, like, there's other things to do before you put up statues of Dustin Brown. And that's saying a lot, you know, because you can go down some great New York Rangers, and I wanted to ask you this question. You know, if there are a couple New York Rangers that you'd put up a statue outside of MSG, who are you picking?
Oh, that's tough. I mean, obviously, I would say Messier gets one.
Yep.
Honestly, I would probably do, going back, I'd give one to... Man, I guess I'd give one to Rod Gilbert. Even for Knicks, it's like there's so many. It's like you can't give all the those late 60s championship Knicks teams all their player statues too, right? So you give this is tough. I mean, okay. I guess you give one to, like, obviously you could maybe give one to Andy Bathgate, but I don't know, or Giacomo. No. That's what I'm trying to be really selective here. I mean, if you really
it's Messier or bust at this point.
Yeah, it's probably Messier, Hank,
and then Gilbert,
Rod Gilbert. You know, maybe Eddie Giacomo. But again, I don't know. It's like I said, it's tough. But I think this is as selective as you have to be. Whereas if we were whoever was making these decisions for. You know, the crypto.com arena, it would be everyone. You know what I mean? It would be like, yeah, Richter, Leach, Messier, you know, Bathgate. Let's throw Ron Duguay in there for no reason.
You sure it's a statue and not like a bobblehead?
It's a statue. I'm not shitting you.
Okay.
It's a statue. But
that's it's still so bizarre to me that we're even having this conversation. I mean, yeah, to put it.
Listen. Sorry, not to cut you off, but if MSG had to have statues, period, I'm not going to count, like, because they would probably put, like, Billy Joel would get a statue, you know what I mean? Or
well,
there's
yeah.
classic concerts there. But as far as sports, for Knicks and Rangers. You do Willis Reed. You do Clyde, Walt Frazier. You do Ewing. That's it for basketball, really, honestly. And then you do, you probably do, you either you can you do the whole gag line in like it's the same bust, or you just do Gilbert, you do Messier, and you do Hank, and that's it. No Leach, no Richter. Although I guess Leach technically could be, is in the running for what greatest Ranger of all time, just because he was always.
But I still don't think he gets a statue.
No, I agree with that too. So I stand by my answer. Yeah, I stand by my answer. Hank, Hank, I think has earned a statue. You know what I mean? So
because you look like last summer or not? Well, last year, I think it was last year, the Seaver statue went up at Citi Field.
Yeah,
and you know how long they've been talking about how the Mets needed to put up a Seaver statue, and it's like if the Mets had half the like urgency that LA had, this would have been up immediately, along with 50 other statues of, you know, Piazza, you know, just, you know, all the great Mets that have ever, you know, played. It's so bizarre to me that some franchises, like I said, the only way this is justified is if it's their way to give a nod to their Stanley Cup runs that they had. And they just picked a special moment that was captured on camera and they want to recreate that moment and write a little blurb about, you know, Dustin Brown being the captain, one of the great runs of LA sports. That's the only thing I can think of. But there's no way that he's getting up there because of his just individual play on the ice. It's just Dustin Brown, I don't think was he even ever considered a top 15 player in the league? I don't think so.
No, never.
It's just so bizarre to me.
Yeah, same. So
very strange. But,
yeah. But again, I guess it's their arena. They can do what they want. And I will say that it's funny because every arena, like, it's funny. You look at a organization like the Red Wings and how they legitimately have a case to retire a lot of numbers, and yet they're very selective. I mean, you know, Sergei Fedorov's number is still not retired. That's a different story. But, like, they have a lot of guys have a case to have their numbers retired, but they're very selective. But then you have, like, obviously the Toronto Maple Leafs do, like, they have like subgroups of their banners. They have retired numbers. Then they have like an acknowledgement, like, what do they call it? Something like the Hall of Honor or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so it's just funny how organizations approach this stuff. And honestly, I just think it's better to err on the side of being selective. You know what I mean? It makes it more prestigious, and it doesn't, you know, cheapen it the more, you know, if you're, but again, I mean, this is saying as someone who, as much as they love Adam Graves and I know he's done so much for both on the ice, but, and also off the ice for the Rangers, is he a guy who should have had his number retired? I'm not really sure. So I'm one of those people that always, falls on the selective side of these type of things, but it is what it is. So, you know, so like I said, it's their arena, they can do what they want. But yeah, I just, Dustin Brown getting a statue is something I would, if you had told me
it's
any time before the last 2 days, I'd be like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, it's puzzles me. Yeah, to no end. I don't even know what to say anymore other than LA. You must have, walking into that stadium again, if it's acknowledging him as an individual, it'll make it 10 times more puzzling. But if you're acknowledging the Stanley Cup runs, I get it. But yeah, anything else on that? I got one more league thing, Andy, that I think we need to talk about.
All right, go ahead.
It's the Matthew Tkachuk trade with the Florida Panthers. Now, this is one of the things that this is not what I was talking about in terms of the therapy session. That is Rangers related. This one is just, I'm not buying that this was a great trade for the Calgary Flames. I'm not buying it at all. And the reason I'm not buying it is because I don't care what Huberdeau did last year or Huberdeau. I don't care that much about Uyghur. I think everyone's praising Calgary for this trade. Calgary has a bigger problem that people are just now all of a sudden overlooking. And there's all of a sudden this like, well, Matthew Tkachuk is going to regress. Well, first off, why is he automatically going to regress? I don't think that that's even a thing. He might not be as impactful to the Florida Panthers than to the you know, Calgary Flames, only because the Panthers have a lot of more established players. But the Flames just lost Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Tkachuk. Huberdeau, to me, has to sign an 8-year deal immediately. Otherwise, they shouldn't be praised at all. And Uyghur needs to sign an extension or something to prove to me that both of those players want to be there long term. I don't care much about the first round pick. I think that picks, you know, obviously every pick is important, but in retrospect, I don't think that that's going to play too much of a factor. I think, you know, trading your heart finalist, I'm using that in quote, air quotes, because he's not, I don't think anyone would pick him. If you're starting a team or a draft, you know, a fantasy draft, you know, a 10-team fantasy draft, does Huberdeau go in the top 10? No. Like, at that point, I feel like he's irrelevant. Let's see what he does when he's got to carry the load in Calgary. Let's see how great he is there. But all in all, where, I got to ask you, Andy, where's the hatred from Matthew Tkachuk coming from? And why is everyone just praising Calgary when they should be still kicking and screaming of why they lost their two franchise players? And they went from being one of the best teams in the NHL to becoming an irrelevant franchise going into next season.
You know, it's funny because I haven't really got as much hatred. Like, Johnny Gaudreau got way more hate than Tkachuk. And it makes sense because obviously they weren't able to recoup any assets for Gaudreau because he was a free agent. You know what I mean? So at least I think it helped him in that sense in terms of the blowback from Calgary fans, because they kind of saw the writing was on the wall. Even, you know, Calgary fans had been hearing that Tkachuk probably wasn't going to re-sign with them. I don't know, since he signed with, you know, since they drafted him, I guess that eventually he was going to be a St. Louis Blue or something. So, but yeah, I mean, and look, they were a successful team last year. You can't help where your city is. So what happened to them, the way those two guys left, you know, let's say they were able to re-sign Johnny Gaudreau, does Matthew Tkachuk say like, hey, listen, you might as well get something for me now? I'm not so sure, but your 100-point playmaking, you know, other winger on your first line of a team leaves. And I think you can kind of see the writing on the wall. So, yeah, he decides to do that. So, you know, like I said, it's hard to blame Calgary too much for why they left. Again, you can't really control where your city's located. If it's just about a guy wants to be closer to home, or a guy's like tired of the restrictions. And I'm not saying that's it, but I'm just saying, you know what I mean? It's like harder for them to see their families in the U.S., especially, you know, during with some of the protocols and the way they've been. It's hard to blame the player, and it's hard to blame the team. But I guess the big question is, who knows what packages were out there? I'm sure they'll come to light sooner or later. But, you know, they have to be, like you said, James, they have to be sure that for either scenario, whether if both Uyghur and Huberdeau are willing to sign there, or if they're not, that they can flip them for something commiserate to what they would hope to get from another team had they had not traded Tkachuk to Florida. You know what I mean? So they better be sure, they have better done their homework, because even if it sounds like the best package on day one, if either of those guys or neither, you know, don't want to re-sign with them, then yeah, clearly that was a big, that was a big mistake. And you should have took a lesser package with more certainty that they would want to be there, you know? The action never ends at DraftKings Sportsbook, especially this summer. With tons of ways to bet on all your favorite sports, you can fuel your fandom and feel the heat of the season like never before. Plus,
Right now, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving new customers a risk-free bet of up to $1,000. That's right. Make your first bet up to $1,000, and if it doesn't win, you'll get another shot to cash in. You can throw down on all the major action for baseball, golf, MMA, and more. Plus, with same-game parlays, spreads, money lines, over-unders, and props, your betting options feel endless. And best of all, DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. You can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Make your first deposit and get a risk-free bet of up to $1,000. That's promo code THPN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
I don't know. It's just, listen, it's a weird scenario. It doesn't happen like this a lot of the times. And, you know, I know Calgary probably got a lot more than they might have deserved, considering that they really had zero leverage in this whole thing. But in my point of view, everyone keeps saying, oh, what a haul for Calgary, what a haul for Calgary. First of all, I just don't see why everyone's in love with Huberdeau.
He's a good player, though, man. I mean, he's not perfect. He's got his warts, obviously. But he is his production the last has been really, you know, consistent.
And yeah, I mean, on one of the best teams in the NHL. This is my problem.
What?
Do you think Huberdeau is going to hit 100 points with the Calgary Flames next year?
Without a playmaker, like if he plays with Elias Lindholm, probably not.
Well, you're talking about it. He's a Hart finalist, so he should be able to do it on his own.
Well, I don't think Tkachuk does it on his own, though.
Well, Tkachuk.
Here's the thing: if Tkachuk plays with Barkov, but Barkov's more of a two way guy than a playmaker.
But everyone's slamming Florida for having Tkachuk. So right now,
who are you seeing slamming them for having Tkachuk? Well, I think everyone who saw it think it's great.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, talking hockey is automatically putting regression on Tkachuk, and basically saying the Panthers really screwed themselves. And then, you know, praising Calgary. But again, you can't praise Calgary until those guys sign long term.
For me, the biggest thing is it's not in a vacuum. I think flipping Huberdeau for Tkachuk is an awesome move for them. But giving up Uyghur to do it, I don't know about that. I think Uyghur is one of the best and most sneaky, underrated defensemen, defensive defensemen in the league in terms of shutting down rush chances and things of that nature. And I think that's going to hurt them because they weren't exactly as stout as they needed to be in the postseason. You know what I mean? So
fair, but
I think it's for me why it was a mistake was more that as a one for one. I don't think it's that bad, but I just think Uyghur is a very good player in his own right. So I think it was a high price to pay. You know, it's like, I think on the last podcast I did by myself, I tried to do a comparison to what would a commiserate package for the Rangers be, right? And I said, well, let's say Panarin is also around 100 point winger, right?
Right.
So you have Artemi Panarin, your first round pick. The prospect was drafted in the first round, the prospect they included, I forget his name now, was a third round pick. So I don't know, Carl Henriksen.
I'm sorry, I need to get this straight. Yeah. We're talking about Mackenzie Uyghur, right?
Yeah.
He's 28 years old?
Yeah, I think he's around there. From an age perspective, it probably makes sense because you're trying to get younger. So I think in that I understand. But like, especially because I feel like a guy like Uyghur is going to probably be an excellent defenseman until at least he's like 32 or 34. You know what I mean? It's just if Florida wants to win now, I don't understand this move. I think they get worse defensively and they don't have an internal replacement. I think that's my biggest gripe with them, because without them, I mean, what they have, like Radko Gudas, you know, Ekblad, who is, although he rebounded
Want with a 28-year-old defenseman and, you know, a 29-year-old forward when you're now going to be essentially irrelevant? The only player you have signed long term is, you know, Blake Coleman.
Especially sorry, my wife is skulking in the background trying to be quiet. She looks like Tom and Tom and Jerry sneaking. You don't have to sneak. It's okay. Oh, now she's playing up. Sorry. Yeah, no, but yeah, I just, like I said, I just think if you're a team that's trying to win right now, that you're in your window, obviously a Matthew Tkachuk could really help you, but I just think it would, to me, it would kind of be like Minnesota trading, like Minnesota flipping Fiala for, like, I don't know, like imagine they flip Fiala for like Mitch Marner, but in order to do so, they also gave up like Jared Spurgeon. You know what I mean? That's where I think I'm coming from. It would be like, huh, well, maybe they got a better player, but the price to do so was a lot. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, I just...
But listen, Tkachuk has all the intangibles, which other players don't. He's a unicorn, really, in that sense. And he is, I think he is a guy, you know, it's going to be a show me season for both of these guys. You want to see if they're both effective. Can, you know, Tkachuk do still work, be as effective without Johnny Gaudreau, and can Hooper do be the same thing, you know, without Barkov or just the team around him, you know? So we'll see.
We will see. And I don't know. I just don't see it for the Calgary Flames. I don't know why you'd want those two guys in their late 20s when basically, you know.
Well, I guess that's the biggest thing, James, is that it felt like it. The sense was when you Gaudreau walked and then, then they lost, you know, then they knew they were going to lose Matthew Tkachuk, that they were going to have to like rebuild, right? And it almost seems like they were prepared to do so. And then the second they got a package or like, well, we'll give you Uyghur, they're like, not so fast. We're still competing. You know what I mean?
I mean, listen, you're totally right. The Flames could impress me big time by getting rid of those two players at the trade deadline, because maybe you do get more, you know, maybe you do get more than, all right, so you got rid of, so you got a first round pick. You get Uyghur and Huberdeau that you can move at the trade deadline because they're UFAs at the end of the season. Now, all of a sudden, you have, you know, another first round pick and a couple big prospects. Then it all makes sense. So if that's what they're trying to do, I think it makes sense. If they're happy because they got those two players, and if you're saying that the Flames won the trade because of those two players, you're out of your mind. They're irrelevant. The Flames are not going to be good for another 5 years unless they really, you know, bring in some top players. I mean, they just lost Gaudreau and Tkachuk, two 100-point players. I mean, at that point, you know, I don't know. For me, if I'm the manager, you got to, you know, if I'm the GM, you kind of have to realize, like, all right, we're going to have to rebuild here.
So, yeah, I mean, when you look at their prospects and their system, it's like there's not like that elite next wave. Like, where if you're the Rangers, or like even if they don't pan out, you are at least like, all right, well, Keandre Miller, Adam Fox is young enough that he'll still be involved. You know, Lafreniere, Kaapo Kakko, Hedl, you know, and so
you
like
still have guys like Hoffman, you know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But, you know, I mean, I'm looking at Calgary's prospect pool and like they have some okay pieces, but like Connor Zary is not going to be their first line center of the future. And you know, I don't know what Jeremy Poirier becomes, but you know, is he a number one defenseman? I'm not really so sure. So it's just interesting. I thought for sure they were going to try to be smarter. And it's funny because it does seem like the teams that are like in the posts out, like since after the last lockout, with just how tight the salary cap has been, it seems like the teams that have decided to like, we're going to just stop lying to ourselves and rebuild, they all seem so much better off for it, right? Am I crazy?
It seems like
I understand like there's some owners that don't have the appetite for it and you have to fight that and they want revenue, playoff revenue and all this other stuff and butts in the seats. But it's just like a team like Dallas, like if they had started their rebuild right after they lost in the bubble, you know, they have some good young players and Robertson and, you know, some of the other guys. It's just like, yeah, I don't know, man. It just sometimes it just seems like these teams that are I feel like Chicago's rebuild is going to take so much longer now because they just should, they're finally doing what they should have done years ago. But now they have to, like, you know, now they're giving up literally guys they drafted. They were lucky enough to draft, you know, Kirby Dach third overall. And now they've already moved on from him.
Yeah.
Also, if you want to, you can hate on the Rangers all you want in their drafting. If you look at the first rounders drafted by the Chicago Blackhawks in the last decade, it's a nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare for them. So just saying, if you're ever interested.
Yeah, but they also have Stanley Cups and they have, you know, Patrick Kane. So
that's true. And like I said, it just it's cups or bust at the end of the day. So,
yeah. Let's see. What else do I got? All right. Enough about Florida Panthers. And first off, I'll maybe revert to last year. I bet the Panthers point total under, for the record. So don't listen to anything I say. Watch the Flames win the Stanley Cup next year, led by Huberdeau with 200 points. Yeah, okay. New York Rangers talk now, Andy. Are you ready for this? And this is me kind of spending too much time during in the offseason on the internet. And I don't know, maybe it's listening to NHL radio and, you know, TSN, just, you know, the articles that like that pop up and stuff like that. Is it me, or for the Rangers being as good as they are, why don't the Rangers get more love? Like, why aren't the Rangers being talked about more right now?
What, on NHL radio?
No, just like in general. I feel like the hockey world just does not talk about the New York Rangers. Like in our own little bubble and on Twitter, because we follow New York Rangers accounts, they do. But I just feel like,
I don't know about that, man. I'm someone who thinks every fan of every team is absolutely blinded and delusional about the coverage of their own city.
You're calling me blinded and delusional.
I'm not calling you. I'm calling everyone blinded and delusional.
Yeah, but you're lumping me in that group. It's okay, though.
You know what it is? It's just like, you know, funny for me, oddly enough, I was going to say, I feel like every time I turn on any, you know, NHL TV or the NHL network, they're talking about the Rangers. You know what I mean? I feel like it's, you have Mike Rupp and Jackie are talking about the Rangers next season and, you know, how they surprise and this and that and Shesterkin and yada, yada, yada. I honestly feel like they've gotten a lot of talk. Obviously, right now, because they're not in the free agency mix as much as other teams, they did their one move in getting Vinny Trocheck, you know, and just letting a bunch of players go. It's not like they swung anything really huge that we know of yet, you know. So I guess in that sense, it did seem like they just kind of faded. But yeah, I don't know. I haven't found, at least I personally haven't found that, you know, scrolling through what, you know, either listening to NHL radio and watching the NHL network and stuff. And, you know, I wouldn't expect in Sportsnet, because that's really just strictly the Canadian teams anyway, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. For me, let's put it this way, Andy. Where do you think the Rangers fall rank-wise, like if you're ranking the teams with the best odds to win the Stanley Cup next year? Where would you put the Rangers? I want to see if your mind lines up correctly with the Vegas books.
Oh man. Oh boy.
So let's start from the top. Who do you think is the favorite going into next year?
I still think it's Colorado, regardless.
And you'd be correct. Who would you think the second favorite is?
I mean,
should I give you a hint?
Well, is it?
Do you want a hint?
Is it Toronto?
No.
Okay. Is it Florida after the move they just did?
Yes, it's Florida.
Come on, man.
Okay.
They did. Well, listen, in fairness to them, they also have a new coach. So,
and this is Caesar's Sportsbook. So anybody listening to this that might open FanDuel, it might be completely different, but I'm going off Caesar's Sportsbook.
I'm going to say Carolina behind them.
Well, there's three teams with the same odds, so essentially tied. Carolina is one of those teams. Who are the other two?
The Lightning still.
Correct.
Is Vegas the other one?
No.
Is it the Rangers?
It is the Rangers, Andy.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Tied for third.
That's not bad, actually. It's better than I thought.
Heading into the Stanley Cup. The Colorado Avalanche are plus 450. The Panthers are plus 900, right? The Tampa Bay Lightning, Hurricanes, and Rangers are all plus 1,000. And then the Golden Knights and the Leafs, of which you both mentioned, are with actually the Oilers and the Blues at plus 1,200. So that's not shocking to me, but that's the list. It's just, this is what I mean. Like, the Rangers are right there. Like, in terms of the Vegas odds, you know, the sports books are putting the Rangers towards the top. I think there's definitely a case to be made that if you look at the Rangers roster, even compared to last year, that there's a lot to be positive about and hopeful that they can, you know, get the job done this time. And, you know, it's funny because last year, Andy, with the Tampa Bay Lightning, you know, you can definitely tell experience. You know, just injuries obviously played a huge part. And, you know, you never know what the Rangers would look like if they had a healthy Gaudreau, a healthy Sammy Blais, and, you know, a healthy Lindgren, a healthier Fox, a healthier Panarin, a healthier Kopp, you know. And, you know, it's just one of those things where the New York Rangers were so beaten down and lack of experience and a lack of being able to take care of business early and just dragging out series. You know, it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, will the Rangers improve next year? And Vegas certainly thinks so, you know, putting them that high to win the Stanley Cup. And, you know, and just in my eyes, I don't know why I feel like this, but I just feel like the Rangers are like still part of like the, maybe it's a good thing. I just feel like I get the sense that no one's giving the Rangers a chance to win the Stanley Cup. That's all. I get that vibe.
Yeah, I mean, if you know, I think the Rangers are going to win the Cup next year? God, I hope so, but does my head think it? I don't know. But yeah, I mean, listen, obviously they with the goaltender, as long, you know, I think a lot of the thinking is that if their goaltending regresses a little bit to, and Igor is just human or just like a good above average NHL goaltender, not the best one in the league, that things, you know, the 5-on-5 possession play goes the same way. But I don't know. I mean, you have to hope that what you saw from the kids in the postseason is their new reality and not just like an outlier, you know, because I think if they play that way, then you can then distribute them throughout the lines as you need. You know what I mean? But there is a part of, and not to get into another discussion, because I know we're talking about, you know, the odds of them winning the cup, but like, there is a part of me that just says, fuck it. Like, try to just keep the kid line together and just make sure you're giving them like equal minutes, or at least, you know, commiserate with what they are. And that way you can maybe roll the first three lines in the same, you know, give Panarin, Mika, and the kid line the same amount of ice time instead of just trying to like just, you know, do the traditional, the most for the first, a little bit less for the second, you know, less for the third. But yeah, I mean, again, I think Trocheck is a clear upgrade over Strome, and yeah, I think their fourth line will end up being better, you know. So, but yeah, I guess we'll see, because I've also have made it known that I think the Rangers might be in for a little bit of a regression next year, where they would still make the playoffs, but they wouldn't be like. But I hope that's not the case. I hope they run away with it and show that they're a top flight contender out of the gate. But yeah, I guess we'll see. That's what sucks about having to wait. I don't know if you're right or if you're crazy, you know.
Yeah, no. I think you're delusional, and I think you're crazy, because I didn't think the Rangers are going to have a regression at all. I think they're going to be almost on par with exactly how they played last season, because they did get better. And although you might not get the production that you got from a Kreider, because 50 goals, we all admit, is very difficult to repeat, especially if you're not really one of those type of goal scorers. You know, it's a different, you know, Ovechkin scoring 50 goals, you kind of just like, oh, that's another season for him. You know, Kreider having a career year, is Zibanejad staying healthy. You know, you just kind of look up and down this lineup, you know, yeah, it's more so players playing like they did last year. And then the kids stepping up, you know, even if the kids step up a little bit and then there is regression from your top players, those almost would cancel each other out. And the Rangers would be exactly where they were. And I don't see any reason why Igor would take a step back. I mean, he seems dialed in and ready to win. And it's just one of those goalies where, you know, very rarely does he have an off night. I love, you know, Halak as our backup goalie, the Halak Ness Monster. And also the Loch Ness Monster was trending on Twitter before. So, you know, maybe they found something. And, you know, you're going to have Sammy Blais hopefully for a full year. And from what we saw last year with Sammy Blais, I thought he was an energy guy. I think New York fans are going to love what he brings. And, you know, it'd be nice to keep him for a full year. And then, you know, I hate to say it, but, you know, bringing in a guy like Ryan Carpenter, I think that's an upgrade over Rooney. You know, Rooney was an energy guy and he did kill penalties, but he never really accomplished anything. You know, I kind of want just a little bit more production out of our fourth line, which I think we'll get because they are better. I don't think Reeves needs to play every single night. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how the lineup looks, you know, with the kids. You know, are they gonna, you know, if they start the season 5-5, or all of a sudden you're gonna see a Hedel, Kako, Lafreniere line, you know, because, you know, they just want to change things up. So yeah, there's a lot happening in the Rangers world, and it's still, you know, that script needs to still be written. But yeah, I think the New York Rangers are going to be exactly where they were last year. And, you know, I think there's also, you know, even if the Rangers, you know, let's just say they had like five less wins, I don't think that I would call that a total regression, only because, you know, if you look around the East, a lot of those teams did get better. So, you know, Rangers were really impressive last year. They did really well. So, you know, five less wins, they're still in the playoff spot. And, you know, they, you know, and I don't think those losses are going to come at the expense of the Pittsburgh Penguins or the Washington Capitals. I think, you know, you look at Ottawa gotten better, maybe you split with them, and Detroit, you know, maybe you split with them. So I don't necessarily think, you know, a five loss swing is it might be bigger on the point, you know, side of things, but I don't think that's a huge regression. I think, you know, the Rangers just need to be steady Eddie, make the playoffs and go for a run. I mean, if you look at the playoffs, there's no easy out, you know, there's no easy path. You're going to be playing good teams no matter what. So, yeah, whether you're a wild card team or the number one seed, you're still going to be playing a team that's certainly capable of beating you. And that's why you got to bring it every single game, every round. You know, nothing's going to be handed to you, as, you know, as I guess you could say Florida Panthers fans learned last year, that, you know, it's just because you did great during the regular season, you know, playoffs are a whole nother animal. So, Andy, anything else? I mean, you really, you know, put me in my spot with the Rangers getting more attention than maybe I see, which is a good thing. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, Andy.
Well, you know what? I'm going to say this, that I do think there are teams that do get less coverage. If I'm saying that, I don't think the Rangers are one of them. Like, I think until this offseason, Columbus never really gets a lot of coverage, obviously. And yeah, a lot of it has to do with, are you a contending team? Did you land a top, you know, if you're not in a major market and you're not the one of the three worst teams in the league, but you don't make the playoffs, you're not getting coverage. I don't care who you are. You know what I mean? Like, so unless you do something crazy, like trade a bunch of your, you know, strip it down or trade a bunch of your, but especially those teams that have just kind of been holding on for the last few seasons, it's just like, you know, so yeah, but, no, that's really it. again, still no one word on what Nazem Kadri is going to do, although I think he signed with the Islanders. That's my theory. So we'll see if that's true, if that's what comes out. But yeah, no, I guess we're still waiting on a Kaapo Kakko extension. We're still waiting to see what happens with Tyler Mott. He's another guy who may be signed with the Islanders, and we just don't know yet. So, but World Juniors is going to be starting soon, and the Rangers will have a bunch of their prospects. Obviously, it was canceled early in the year due to COVID restrictions and things. So they're going to give it another go. So that'll be. That'll be fun as all the young Rangers gear up for that who are participating. It's a shame it became public, but Bobby Ryan had relapsed from some of his alcohol issues the other day. So obviously, you know, best of luck to him. Hope he can get the help he needs and, you know, the support he needs to, to overcome what's, afflicting him, you know? So, best of luck to him. That's definitely something tough, definitely. You know? So, other than that, I don't know. I wish more would happen. It would seem, that's the problem. It's like, we came out of the gate so hot in the off season that I was like, oh, great. It's going to be like this all the time. It's every week we're going to have some blockbuster. And now I think it's like, you know, nothing's happening. I'm like, well, come on, let's do something. You can't, you know, I'm going through withdrawal from, you know, not having a blockbuster trade because it's been so crazy, you know, over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. And this is why selfish me wants everyone to talk about how good the Rangers are going to be next year and how they're going to win the Stanley Cup. So, a little bit of that is me being selfish. And, you know, I just, I expect big things. I have big expectations, and that makes me a little worried because usually when I expect big things, it just means that the letdown is going to be that much greater. So, a little nervous heading into next year now that I say that. And if you're a New York baseball fan, you have the Mets and Yankees tonight. Mets looking to take the 2-game sweep, which Scherzer on the mound. So we are a pro Mets podcast. We are not. Although Ranger fans, we are not part of the group where it's the Rangers, Giants, and Yankees. Andy and I are Met Jet guys through and through. So, anything else, Andy?
Usually worse, but yeah. right now it seemed like it could be better.
Yeah, well, listen, we're talking Stanley Cup, World Series, and And maybe, Stanley Cup,
even
World
you
Series,
can't, even you can't
three,
see the third
and
one.
Three win, a 3-win season. That's
hell
what
yeah.
I'm gearing up for it.
Hell yeah. even you had to be realistic with this one, but,
I can't even be positive about the Jets. So, anything else, Andy? Finish it up for us.
No, just thank you for listening as always. Glad you're back, James. Let's, hope the Rangers. Can re-sign Kaapo Kakko to that bridge deal finally. Maybe they could fit Tyler Mott, maybe not. Maybe there is something we don't know about. Again, a bunch of the Rangers prospects will be going to the World Juniors. So, and I believe those camps are starting to get together for the tournament. I don't know when what date is the tournament I'm talking about. I don't know the exact date. This is great podcasting in my August 9th tournament starts Tuesday. So yeah. That if as a Rangers fan, you will have, if you're interested in the future Rangers, you'll have some players to watch there. Will Cooley will be there. I think Dylan Grant's going to be there too. I do wonder about Brennan Hoffman if he's going, but there should be a bunch of Rangers there. So, or future Rangers, I should say. Potential future. So that'll be fun, and we'll have something to talk about on that front. But we thank you for listening, and we will come to your earlobes next week. So, and enjoy the rest of the week, enjoy the weekend, and we'll see y'all next week.
Thank you for listening to the Broadway Boys podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Broadway Boys Pod, and please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, or the HockeyPodcastNetwork.com.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.